Tacky Talk time, folks. We're back on Tacky Tuesdays with State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy. Hey, Tacky, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Joe. On a very mostly cloudy but truly bright and humid tacky Tuesday on July 9th, as the summer has now moved to almost midterm.
I know. As my great grandmother used to say, once the 4th of July is over, summer's done.
I can understand that. To me, 4th of July means reduction of big events until I get to August Moon Festival, which
Yeah,
this
that's
year
right.
will be on August 18th on Cardigan Street. So it's great seeing everyone over July 4th. It was odd July 4th, obviously, because of being a Thursday. So it's kind of always like not sure who took the week off or the second half of the week off. And I've noticed ever since COVID, people have been really taking advantage of their days off, especially on the holiday season. Those of you who travel, I obviously do not travel because I'm working July 4th, but those who do realize there's a record-breaking travel again this year, this week on July 4th, as well as a really interesting pattern change regarding traffic, right? You have people who are working work from home, staggered hours, staycations, but also people on the roads and flying as well. So, it's great seeing everyone in Germantown, Adams Shore, and Marymount. You can always kind of figure out, particularly in Marymount, as you do the In the Neighborhood Parade, how many people have decided to take more time off than just a few days after July 4th. And this is kind of where we live in. I mean, saving up your vacation time does no good if you're not well enough to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's so true, and you're entitled to it, so you don't get anything by not taking it.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of a new world we're living in with many folks where you should enjoy your life where you have it now and get the time that's given to you because you don't know what's going to be next down the road. And again, record traffic during Memorial Day weekend and now July 4th. And we'll see how it goes going to Labor Day. And this is important to the Massachusetts economy, because not just because we want people to enjoy the time off, but also people coming to Massachusetts, as part of their vacation planning. So, obviously, tourism is a still big, 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 big part of our economy. College graduation season is a big part of our tourist boost. July 4th is a big part of our tourist boost. And then, we have, going to the Labor Day period, different holidays, particularly in Europe. They have a different holiday schedule, and we see a lot of Europeans visiting Massachusetts to tour. So, obviously, I'm talking about people's time off based on my observations, around July 4th and seeing people and families on the streets, but also different traffic patterns as my student go to the State House, as you all discovered. But we'll wait and see how busy the State House gets regarding how many other languages I hear in the hallways.
Yeah, that's right. It is a tourist attraction for sure. Yeah.
It absolutely is. And if you're walking the streets around Boston, you can see the trolleys and the duck tour boats. I know it's a little sample in a small part of the city, but I do work in a historical center. And it's a great way to gauge how tourism working based on what you literally see on the street.
Absolutely. I'll be curious to see if the state primary is the day after Labor Day this year. So I don't know how many people are actually tuned into that. Be curious to see the turnout.
I am too. Early voting is in play for the primaries. So everyone should keep that in mind. You can do early voting, and there will be mail-in ballot voting. You receive your mail-in ballot applications back before the presidential primaries in February. You can still get a mail-in ballot, even though you did not fill a mail-in ballot request. You can get one at Quincy City Hall, as well as the Secretary of State website. I have not seen the schedule yet from the polling locations and the other details of where the drop boxes are. I presume it's still going to be a City Hall. Whether there are going to be early voting locations outside of City Hall, I don't know that yet. So you can ask Nikki when you talk to her next. But don't feel like that just because you're going to be away Labor Day weekend or going into that full week that you are not able to vote in the Democratic Republican primary. But definitely, there are plenty of opportunities, a different way to do so. doesn't take that much planning ahead, so to speak. And you know how much more easy and convenient it can make for you to not disrupt your life. So if you're like taking your kids to college, for example, and you want to drive out there and maybe you want to hang out for a while, someplace to visit and enjoy, know that you can do your early ballot by mail. And your kid is, even though is going to spend a lot of time outside of Massachusetts as a student, residency is still Massachusetts for the purposes of voting if they choose to do so. So they can do an absentee slash mail-in ballot to participate in Massachusetts elections. So those students should feel they are not able to, because their permanent residency is still Massachusetts, even though they're spending most of the time at the school. It's because the school is considered temporary residency.
Right, yeah, plenty of ways to vote. That information hasn't been published just yet, but I'm assuming it'll be coming out very soon.
Well, stay tuned with Joe. He'll let you know when it's going to happen before I will.
Yes, I will. I promise. It's Scout's honor. What's happening at the State House?
It's a lot of preparation going on. My staff and I have had quite a few meetings now, just kind of in preparation mode. I don't pretend to know when the schedule is or what's on the schedule. I just know that schedule says potential every day for full formal sessions, which translates to being on call. Speaker, kind of quipped at us, "Sorry, you ruined your golf plans." Was this little quip in caucus, and I don't play golf, so I have no sympathy for the golfers, as you can tell. But it was a little, quip to let us know that keep tuned in July. So we are, and we don't know exactly what's going to come up in the schedule till it actually does. We're doing 2 days notice on the maximum, but ears to the rumor mill to see what's happening. And my staff is ready, and I'm ready to pivot or change or do whatever we got to do depending what bills come up. So in the interim, I've had extension orders approved by the Senate on some bills that we had done late, not major pieces. We have some stuff on things like better labeling on environmentally sensitive issues regarding certain products. So we had some stuff in the committee that took a little longer to figure out, and I got like 10 out of 11 formal petitions that I got to get out of committee soon, as well as like four just showed up in the last 3 weeks. So the committee's kind of busy still on these alcohol over quota requests that I talk about a lot on this show. I process more bills than most committees all through the year, and it's an ongoing process. And the joint rules are 30 days to process something, or we're gonna have to give it an extension report. So that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, economic development bills being debated by the Senate this week is what we see. We took that up before the week before July 4th. Obviously, the budget's still in play. We're 9 days into the new fiscal year. I love the news, makes a lot of talk about it. But the reality is, as I like to say, if we're in a budget crisis, we have to be on time. If we're healthy, being on time is not essential, because we're just using last fiscal year's budget numbers and just carrying them over. And then we'll do the reconcile. And oddly enough, you may save a little bit of money using one total budget for the prior year, and then subject minus certain things like the one-time expenditures and things like that. So as you can tell, I'm not in a panic. I've been looking enough budgets over the years to know when we've got a problem. And generally, when we don't have any money or coming in under budget from the prior years, definitely we have to get in well ahead on time. Concern, of course, is getting close to the end is the governor controls, right? If the governor's 10 days tend to sign a bill, and she can veto, pocket veto, line veto. Actually, no, she can't pocket veto yet. Pocket veto is end of the calendar year or end of the session year. So she has line of veto, and she has regular veto ability. And we won't be in formal sessions after July 31st. So she's in the driver's seat. So that's becoming a concern among the membership of how quickly conference committees can get their work done ahead of AC July 20th.
Ah, has the governor been in the state recently?
Well, she was probably she was in the deep south on the border of Texas, telling people not to come to Massachusetts, which I have to be frank with you, if I'm this guys, you gotta really think about looking at from the other way or view, we know that's challenging for people today, but it's, it's healthy. If I'm a person that's crossing the border and you got this person, this woman governor person you've never seen before in your life telling you not to come to her state, do you actually understand what's going on? Exactly, right? I mean, let's folks take a second and try to put yourself in someone else's shoes. If Maura Healey's come to you and you have no idea if she's Maura Healey, you have no idea what Massachusetts is, and she's telling you to not come to her state, and you're looking at it like, what does this mean? I mean, seriously? And that's how I approach, this kind of stuff that people do, particularly in public, in public office and public relations, about, not exactly what you're telling the audience, but what is the audience thinking when you tell them? And we're living in a world that's very difficult. Nobody does this, it seems like, anymore. Like, okay, let's think about it from the other side. If you're that other person receiving the message, not the one giving the message, because everyone we nowadays love to give messages, but not understanding the recipients. So, I got a blip of news on it down there, but to be frank with you, I'm kind of like, I'm, on the shoe on the other foot looking at her, and I'm like, what's going on here? And that's the way we should approach looking at, these types of public relations approaches. What is the what's the recipient and message thinking?
Well, I mean, to me, it highlights the fact that it really is a crisis. If you have the governor of the state physically going to the border and saying, "Don't come here," indicates to me that it truly is a crisis.
Yeah, but not to the person that's listening to it, because you just got over the border and trying to find a place to go. You're going to listen to someone, you have no idea who it is, you're going to just go about your business.
Well, I think you're probably not going to go where you say you're not wanted.
That's assuming they actually understand what's going on, right? I
Yeah.
mean, yeah, that's making a big leap of faith that the folks standing there know what what you're talking about are just going to go do about the business. I mean, most of us, like most people, I believe, they just go about the business. So, it's not like there's no shortage of people being asked to tow things here, and they just go about their business anyway.
True.
So
Yeah, that's true.
we've had a whole COVID experience on people just doing what they want, despite, no matter how much public relations is put out there about things that you shouldn't be doing. So, if you think that you're, better than someone else that's, that just got here with much less knowledge about what's going on around them, and assume that somebody just tells you something, it's something that you should do, with no understanding, knowledge of the individual, the place they're talking about. Well, I don't think most of us, we can all claim that we think that's the way to approach it, but let's be honest about it. People are people, and we went through a earth-shattering pandemic where people didn't pay attention to, or did not want to, or create conspiracies about things in their best interest and went about their business anyway, putting themselves in danger. So you put that kind of bar against, people who are trying to flee murderers, rapists, killers, child thieves, from their home countries. Their priority is not what some woman from Massachusetts, they have no idea who it is, says. Their priority is trying to keep their family safe.
So, what do you think? It's just a PR stunt?
I'm not sure what it accomplishes in the end, to be honest with you. We got a little bit of news up here, but not a whole lot of it. So I have to be frank. I'm not sure what it accomplishes, because the message, the recipient of the message only takes as seriously as their understanding of the messenger. And I don't know if the people listening understand the messenger.
We'll find out, I guess.
Well, we're living in a world where, again, like I, pointed out earlier, a lot of people receive messages in different mediums, and do they really understand who or what the messenger is? Of course, now we've got AI coming along, so it's going to be very interesting about messengers, and how you rank that messenger's value in relationship of receiving said message.
Speaking of messages, lots of different messages coming out of Washington these days, with regards to presidential election.
Yeah, I was in the economic development debate when the last, I'm sorry, yeah, we're in debate in session when the last presidential debate went off. So I didn't actually watch it. I did catch the highlights and a ton of post commentary, like a lot of post commentary on that debate. And I did watch the ABC News with George Stephanopoulos's interview. And the interview was dramatically better. I'll admit it's a very low bar from the debate for President Biden. It sounded like he was very cognizant of the questions. He was able to be defiant on the questions, not just be defiant generally. He was actually addressing the questions of things he felt needed explanation, or he was just like, no, I'm not leaving defiant. So I don't think there's a cognitive issue here because it is not really what you answer the question. It's actually if you understand the question that's being asked, that you answer. So we may not always like someone's answer, but if the question is that they understood the question, give the answer whether you like the answer or not. And the interview definitely showed he did understand the questions. And whether you like the answer is not relevant to me. It's whether you could understand it. And it's clear that he could. So I've never seen anything like this. People tell me the last time they've seen this was the Johnson, after JFK was assassinated, the Johnson convention. It was really crazy. The convention is not the same convention it was in 1968. So the rules are very different. And sharks are in the water. Gary Newsom was in New Hampshire. Gretchen, what's her name from Minnesota? Not Minnesota, Michigan. I forgot the last name right. So the Michigan governor was up here raising money. And I'm averaging like four emails a day from the Biden campaign looking for donations, a little four a day now, probably more coming every day. So they really are cranking it up. So we'll see how this plays out. The challenge, of course, is name recognition. Like him or hate him, you know who it is. People tend to want to get to vote for and against someone if they have some knowledge of somebody that's on the ballot. Changing ships at this point, name recognition is going to be incredibly important. And if you're a non-Biden person, if you're not Joe Biden, you can't take his accomplishments and make them yours as part of an incumbency benefit. If you're a new Democratic candidate at this stage of the game in July and August, you have less than 4 months to get your name recognition very high. That is very hard on a national level when people are just not interested in the months of August of who you are yet. There is one more debate in September. I think there'll be significantly more attention from the public in the September debate as you're about six, I think it's like the 23rd or so. It's about 6 weeks out of the final election. So I think that's the one that most people pay more attention to. I think June, right before July 4th. I know it's on replay on YouTube, and you'll see it many times as you want. I don't think people are quite as attentive as they will be in about 2 or so months to the presidential race. We'll see how it goes. But also the news is very clear to note that anybody asking Biden to go tends to be in a state where they're highly contested elections to begin with. Or somebody that isn't exactly in favor of the president or the majority party right now.
Right.
So I wouldn't read too much into it. I know that people hate Joe Biden. Democrats will go look at this revolution by their own party, but they go, who is saying it? Not necessarily what they're saying. And unfortunately, whether they like it or not, politics has a degree of self-interest, and I don't care what anyone says. It's part of how it works. And particularly when you get to that level in contested races, self-interest is about keeping your seat more than keeping the president.
And it's interesting. Even if President Biden runs and gets reelected, there's no kind of rising star of the Democratic Party for the next 4 years after this current election.
Yeah, I've had this criticism for quite some time. And also in Massachusetts, not with just the Democrats, but also the Republican Party, because there really is a weak bench. You got to give people a chance. I've been using this message as my theme for the year, I guess, giving people a chance. And whether they succeed or fail, that chance is another matter. But there is clearly nobody under the age of 70, which is kind of funny, under 70 anywhere that shows, you know, they have leadership potential. And if national politics, you know, it's a good chance for somewhat established Democrats or Republicans to go on a campaign trail nationally and try to increase the profile, particularly if they have a very secure seat at home, regardless of your political party, to demonstrate to national party leaders as well as state and local party leaders that, you know, you're an up-and-comer. But, you know, that also implies that, you know, people senior than you are not going to overshadow you or to do that, nor, you know, you want them to encourage you, not discourage you from doing that. And people who, you know, are leaders tend to take the lead. They're not willing to just sit there and wait, but they're also not afraid to take getting shot at, as I like to put it. They're not afraid to take some barbs and arrows on the way through, and don't let themselves get rustled and ruffled and scattered by said barbs and wires. I think that's a sign of leadership where you're not shaken by verbal attacks or threats. This is something that, you know, differentiates people that, you know, aren't afraid to take on a tough job versus those who just want some attention, but as soon as fire comes their way, they want to get out of the way before they get too singed. Those who know me knows that I probably have third degree burns at this point. Working my way up the ladder, first degree burns.
Well, if with that argument, then President Biden, definitely fits that mold.
He is actually doing that. You're absolutely correct. His interviews and his statements is a little bit of somewhat of a throwback period, right? I mean, you know, he's a politician that came out of the 70s and 80s, where there was a lot of cordiality among elected officials, a lot more respect by the public, even though the public was always very critical. But the public, you know, was much less vicious over every little detail, and even they didn't agree with you, they're at least respectful despite that. And he also came up with a tough time. It was the Vietnam period, OPEC, hyperinflation, hyper interest rates, stock market that wasn't moving. You know, there was a lot of things going on. Cold War was still very, very hot for a Cold War. So, you know, Biden came out of an era of politics where he's right. He was not expected to be a city councilor. He wasn't expected to be a U.S. senator. And, you know, that attitude and approach continues with him today. And I respect that. You know, I do have a lot of respect for older folks, and also a lot of respect for folks that, you know, really had to grind it as a person that was never expected to win, much less sustain and be around to, you know, rise to the level of the presidency on his third attempt. And that definitely comes across. I don't know if anyone else sees that. The question really becomes is whether or not he's able to navigate through, you know, the Democratic Party, its donors, the elected officials at so many different levels, you know, the party faithful in different states, you know, rally their confidence. And I don't know if this approach of strength by saying that I'm great, I'm fine, look at the job I've done, give me more time to do more work, is going to work. And I think the media is driving a lot of this conversation too, because I'm doubtful that 99.9% of us, you know, are like thinking our way through all the details of what we're looking for a president beyond just some special issues we're looking for individually. I mean, the media pundits are talking about, you know, confidence in being there 4 more years. You know, can you do the job for 4 more years, right? Something that you never hear before. I've never heard of any media person
Right,
say, yeah, you can't do the job for 4 more years. I mean, never heard that before, right?
that's true.
You know, looking at his medical logs of visitors, right? The person checking on Parkinson's, the doctor in Parkinson's visit quite a bit, but at the same time, I'd be very concerned that a president his age doesn't have a doctor visit quite a few times as well. So, oddly enough, I actually would want to see the doctor more than less, particularly in a high stress job at his age. So, but I mean, it's being spun as if like they're hiding something. Well, what's there to hide? They had a doctor show up.
Right.
Know, unlike, you know, us, it's not like, you know, I put into public my medical history in terms of like who shows up. I mean, it was a very specific doctor. It was like a doctor, right? It's a specifically doctor. I'm sure they're not just one on the White House logs. They have the high level of transparency relative to who visits the state visits the White House. And I think the question is, does it sell, right? Does his current approach sell with a broad audience of Democrats to create confidence that he's the guy that not just can beat Donald Trump, but also do a good job for the next 4 years? He'll be 85, 86 if he completes the second term.
Right. Yeah. Stay tuned for sure. See what happens.
Yeah, I'm like everybody else. I mean, as you all hear over the years with me talking with Joe here, I mean, I try to, express my own opinion. You may or may not agree with me, but it's not always roses with people and even my own party. I can be equally critical about things what I think are good or bad. But ultimately, in the end, there's some practicalities. It's July 9th. I think the Democratic convention is August 16th. All the delegates have been pledged. They've basically signed a contract with Joe Biden. To switch gears now requires the fact that the primary voters and caucus voters of every state is going to be ignored. There is no longer a process that your voice as a Democratic voter or a Democratic caucus voter, depending what state you're in, has been heard to take Joe Biden off the ticket. And only he can get himself off the ticket because those delegates are pledged to him. So there is a practicality here, folks, given the date we're in. And, do you want to disenfranchise your primary voters and your caucus voters? People don't seem to understand that part. They campaigned and people came out to support the Democratic primary candidate.
And gave lots of money too. Yes.
No, absolutely. This is going to be, I think, one again, most expensive campaigns in history.
We should shift gears for a minute, Jackie. I want to talk a little bit about the laws regarding marijuana usage in Massachusetts, only because over the holiday weekend, on the beach, wafting through the air, the melodious odors of burning marijuana. And I'm thinking, is it legal to consume in public? I didn't know the answer.
Well, you don't have to go to a beach. You can just go down Fennel Street to the tennis courts
Oh,
and
well, that's true. Yes.
I don't.
Or in the car in front of you in traffic. Yeah.
The answer is yes. It is decriminalized and legalized in Massachusetts. You can't consume marijuana in public. That's why you've been experiencing a lot of marijuana smoking all over the place, quite frankly. However, it's still smoking. If a place has a smoking ban, you cannot smoke marijuana in a place where there's a smoking ban,
Okay.
obviously. There's that component to it. But yeah, I mean, it's legalized in Massachusetts for recreational use, pursuant to the voters. This was not my idea. Although I did serve in the marijuana committee for 3 months to help, clean up the ballot question in the law. But yeah, the voters voted for this. And recreational use can be done in public areas. This is why there's always talk about things like marijuana cafes that never quite materialize, where people can consume marijuana products, basically at a coffee style situation, which people talk about. And I'm waiting to see when it materializes. However, be mindful of the fact that it is a substance like alcohol that can impair your thinking. So definitely do not operate a vehicle, whether it be a car, truck, or boat, while you're under the influence of marijuana, like you would of alcohol. So I'm not going to tell people what to do or not to do. I hope people are able to figure it out themselves. But you're going to do, participate in use of marijuana like any other substance that can affect your cognitive thinking. Before you start. Keep in mind, what you're going to be doing next before you begin.
Okay, so there is a law regarding using it while driving.
Yeah, it comes under the impairment law. The state's drunk driving law is actually kind of broad in this sense. There is obviously drunk driving, which is a blood alcohol level. Everyone knows that. There's also an impairment. So, you don't actually have to be having alcohol. You could be on a prescribed narcotic. Such, let's say, codeine cough syrup. Let's take a quite a legitimate real and can actually impair your driving if you have a high dose of codeine cough syrup, it can actually make you very drowsy and impair your ability to drive. So, I mean, that's considered impaired driving. Now, the issue of marijuana is, there's no real standard per se. So, the police officer is going to have to make a judgment call, like in an old-fashioned way, walk the line, touch your toes, recite the alphabet backwards kind of situation. I'm not saying that's the actual test, but pointing out something that some older generation folks may re remember before the days of breathalyzers,
Right.
because there's no breathalyzer for marijuana use. But again, there is no like breathalyzer for codeine. But if you're, like I said, if you're heavily on, sleepy drugs, you're driving, I mean, it's a visual issue for the police officer to make a determination whether you're a danger. So marijuana falls in that category. I know some states have some tests. The district attorney, Michael Morrissey, has talked to me about adopting more of these procedures in Massachusetts regarding visual clues regarding impairment. So I think that's something that's work in progress, as I like to put it.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious what the group I was with started having a discussion and I didn't know the answer, so okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's legal in Massachusetts to do it. Again, I mean, it's not to me, it's not an issue of utilization of marijuana. It's just that, have some foresight about what you're going to be doing next, in the process of using marijuana. That's all. It's like everything else. You're drinking alcohol. Obviously, don't drink and drive, but also be mindful of where you are, where you're going to be in that process. So, again, it can impair cognitive abilities.
Speaking of ballot questions, have they all been determined now for this year?
Yeah, the SJC has allowed all the ballot questions forward. So, you have four ballot questions for you to sort out as the public in November's ballot. We've already talked about them multiple times up here. But yeah, all the challenges to the Attorney General's approval of the ballot questions has been sustained by the Supreme Judicial Court. So, signature gathering is hot and heavy going into the month of August. I believe they're all going to clear the bar on that because they generally start gathering signatures before the SJC case is ruled in preparation anyway. So, yeah, we can talk to more about that as we see what the advertising is going to be. I'm very curious how the pro and against groups are going to frame their questions to the public and actually very complicated issues and try to put them in simple format and advertising for the public to understand and whether or not exactly how much of the advertising is accurate regarding your and I understanding of how the questions will work.
Right. Yeah, I'll be curious to see too. The MCAS exam requirement will be an interesting one to see how that's framed.
No, agreed. It'd be interesting how that's framed. I think the psychedelic one would be very difficult to explain to the public. Actually, I think all of them would be. I mean, the ride share, I think, is more intricate.
Yes.
Advertising already out there from both sides. They're going to start accusing each other of lying because I'm seeing that coming down the pike. And the minimum wage setting for wait staff, service wait. Will be interesting to see how that question is framed as well. Again, it sounds simple, but if you actually walk through the actual details of it and in a real life situation, it gets, it's a little more involved than I think people realize.
Yeah. Did the audit question, auditing the state legislature, is that not going through?
Oh no, that's going through. That
Oh,
wasn't
yes.
challenged at the
Oh,
SJC.
okay.
That's also out there. So, is that five?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're all going on the ballot. I keep
Okay.
thinking four for some reason in my mind. I don't understand why, but my brain keeps thinking four.
So interesting. Yeah. Okay. So to me, I mean, be more interest maybe in those than in the races.
Oh man, perhaps we're going to have so much email, text messages, YouTube, social media. Television, radio. I mean, we're going to get bombarded by so much advertising this basically Halloween on, and it could be drowning in advertising. So we'll see how much of it people can filter through to make decisions on what they think is best.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We haven't talked international politics in a while, Techie, but there's been elections in Europe.
Those who follow European elections, the European parliamentary elections for the European Union occurred in June. It's all coalition driven. As you may aware, political parties are a bit of a cannot be put in like silos. They're very like bits and pieces of many different philosophies, socio-economic and philosophical. So they're not easily put into like, everybody's in one camp or another camp. It really is this real divergent group. And you can simplify it by saying, the right-wing conservatives or left-wing liberals, but it's not that simple either. So, the so-called right of center coalition won the European Union elections, and there's a presumption that it was going to be a wave moving through Europe. So the United Kingdom had a snap election July 4th, which I thought was kind of interesting. And the last time I saw this election was in 2019 in December, when I was in Hong Kong, my last trip to Hong Kong. And I was watching how they were saying the Tory party, would take over parliament for decades to come, and Labour is dead. Three prime ministers in a pandemic later. Was it four prime ministers? Sunak, Johnson, May, and what's the one, Liz Truss, who couldn't survive the head of lettuce.
Right.
The head of lettuce outlasted her in terms of her time as prime minister.
Yeah.
Four prime ministers later, the opposite happened. I remember very clearly in 19 saying, the Tories have won, the Labour is dead, SNP, the Scottish Party is dead, the Liberal Democrats, the Green Party is dead, all dead. It's all conservatives all the way. And Brexit later and four prime ministers, Labour has the biggest margin since was it David Cameron? It's been not David Cameron. Was it David Cameron?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I'm getting my names confused again, but
Yeah.
regardless, I mean, they have the second biggest majority and basically have taken a majority in parliament. They don't need to form a coalition government. They flipped a whole ton of seats all through England and well, the UK. England's only part of the UK,
Right.
but there's also the fact there was also disappointments. They thought that the so-called Reform Party would do better. It did not do better. They thought it'd have a larger, relatively, they have very small seats. I mean, like 13, but they expected that could. They only got to like four. But the Scottish Party had a huge drop off, including their own seats in Scotland. And Liberal Democrats, have become a bigger force, but not minority party. So you want to flip around. I mean, your party lost the majority. Had a majority and lost a majority, and then you're so far behind that you can't even form a coalition of smaller parties to oppose the majority. So we'll see where it goes now. 14 years of Tory rule has come to an end in England, and Labour's back, but it's a different Labour Party. It's not the Labour Party of 14 years ago. It's a Labour Party that's much more moderate.
Right.
They're much more cautionary than so. And I think Jeremy Corbyn, the prior leader, actually lost his party status. He had to run as an independent,
Yeah, interesting.
non-party affiliated independent. Jeremy Corbyn, the former party leader of Labour, actually had to win the seat as a non-party. So, they've been moving away from Jeremy Corbyn's really kind of, really radical. I think it's radical in my mind, but really radical approach to politics and to much more subdued and discussionary conservative approach in terms of how they engage the public. So we'll see how it plays out. It'll be interesting. Their election for 5 years, unless they call a snap election by the Prime Minister or the House of Commons decides they have a majority vote to do so. So we shall see. The other one you may have seen some news of is the French election. Macron, the president there, called a snap election too to dissolve parliament in these short elections. Now, we're used to having elections going on for like 9 months. It's maybe a year and a half of presidency. Over there, you got to get an election done in 6 weeks or less.
I know, it's pretty incredible. Yeah.
Pretty incredible. Yeah. I mean, you're doing a snap election, and your candidates have to be better vetted by the party. It isn't just some random person showing up. I mean, the party has a lot of say who gets to run because you only got like 6 weeks.
Right.
Pick the wrong person, it could be disastrous for not just one seat, but it could just be a ripple effect through the whole area. So in France, you have Macron's more moderate party of the Liberal Party. You have this, Republican Party, but a Republican, a conservative party. But his conservative party is wacky because it's socially conservative, but they want to spend money like doomsday. I mean,
know.
they want to give more pension money. They want to give more vacation time. They want to, increase healthcare benefits. They just want to spend tax dollars like no one's business. Again, political parties in Europe aren't like the United States. They're
No.
not easily camped. So you have this socially conservative, anti-immigrant, anti-basically, frankly, non-white people, but they want to spend money like the drunken sailors. Meanwhile, Macron's the opposite. He's pro-business, very moderate regulation, socially more liberal, but very fiscally tight on government spending, which has resulted in riots in the street in Paris about his reforms to try to rein in the deficit. So, and then you got the far left party, which partially likes to be drunk and spacious and partially doesn't. It's very bizarre over there.
Hard to it's hard to nail down. It really is, yeah.
Yeah, don't get caught up in labels, but especially in Europe, those parties do not follow United States conventions. It just does not. So basically, they have a two-round voting system. Everybody has to win a majority of their seat. You must have 50% plus one. So round one, because there's also upwards of three, four, five, six candidates in each seat in parliament, you need to win an outright majority. If you can't win a majority in the first round, they drop off the bottom. Persons, I think if you can't pass like 15% or something like that, what's left, runs off, and whoever wins that runoff, highest number wins. If you don't get the clear,
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah. It's kind of like, I mean, it's been discussed here, ranked voting.
it's kind of rank voting, but kind of not. I mean,
Yeah.
in England, it's like first one, it's English is like all the parties run, and there's no like you can't have two persons in the same party over the run. There's no primary. The
I
party
see.
chooses
Okay.
you. If the party doesn't choose you, then you run as independent, like Jeremy Corbyn did. But
Yeah.
it's whoever gets the highest vote total, period. So yeah, five people running, if you can crack 26%, doesn't matter, you win. In England, in France, in that first round, if you don't crack 50%, I think anybody over 15% and above gets to the second round.
Okay.
So that's why they said the first round of voting went to Le Pen's party, the Conservative Party, because they had won the most in polarities, but did not win out majorities in those seats, if I remember this correctly.
Well, so I mean, you as a voter, you really have to be engaged and in tune of what's going on.
Oh, yes, they had over 66% participation
Wow.
in that election. Yeah, because the second round of voting comes up very quick. I mean, it
Yeah.
comes in 7 days. So as a voter, you have to be aware what the status is of your local candidate running for parliament, and then whether or not they, got to 50% or not. If not, you're going back again, which means the political parties have to make very quick moves, whether to say, let's say, drop a candidate, your candidate withdraws because it's so weak that you don't want the one of the other parties to win.
Right.
It's called I think it's called Republicanism over there, believe
Interesting.
it or not. It's tactical voting. So smaller political parties will make a decision of which larger political party they prefer. And rather than split the vote, they'll withdraw candidates and then try to encourage their party member party people to support their platform to go
Yeah.
with the other political parties that are
Yeah.
more in tune with their platform.
Yeah, for the good of the party, right?
For the good of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Well, Le Pen's Conservative Party caused such a freak out because they're so extreme in so many different levels. Not just the fact they spend like drunken sailors, but the social policies are really backwards. I'll just make that very nice. That basically the entire public freaked out. The minor parties all freaked out, and the moderates and the left sides and everyone in that zone shifted. And that's given a voter turnout and the massive shift in the party's clearing paths for either the liberals or the moderates to make a path through against the conservative end of it. Is shown by the voter turnout. The voters have decided that, hey, my party that I affiliate with that I like is going to get out of the way. And they're telling us that this is your two choices left or three choices left. And I think I'll go with the choice that's closest to my alignment. They may not be 100% with me, but they're closer to the other one.
Right, yeah.
And that's what happened. The public is not in France in the end, is not. The Pence folks didn't read the public correctly, read the public completely wrong. And
Yeah.
what started out as a perhaps majority in parliament, they came in third place. And in terms of the second round runoffs, it's the highest number of second round runoffs they've ever seen in Europe. I'm sorry, here in France. It was like 300 seats plus were in this runoff situation where at least three candidates. I think they had like six or seven, there were like four
Well,
that made the cut. Now, Macron's got a problem because his political party came in second. So he's lost his majority in parliament. The no single of the three, there are three parties that are sufficiently large enough to form a coalition government, and they all don't get along. So they have what's called a hung parliament, where they cannot form a majority coalition and then appoint a prime minister.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how long they can go. And Macron is on term limits. He can't run again after 2027. So you think politics are wacky and crazy in the United States. You may not have a functioning legislative body in France, which is like a major economy, major military power, major part of global and European politics.
Yes, interesting.
With a functioning legislature for quite some time as they're hung. The British is actually pretty interesting too. Sunak is no longer the leader of the Conservative Party. The Conservative Party is going to have a campaign to find out who the next leader is. There seems to be a lot of stalling because one of the people who could have been the contender lost her seat. The other one looks like he's going to be taken to court regarding some irregularities regarding how the voting process, especially the ballots, were being played out. So there's very unclear leadership over there too. So yeah, in England again, it's other, important country in a global stage and as well as in Europe. So it'll be interesting how that plays out because they thought the EU elections was a precursor to local country elections, and that does not appear to be the case.
Yeah, makes us look boring.
Well, yes, they're very different how to do this, but also something to be said about snap elections. But also, the party has a lot to say over there because, like I said earlier, there is no such thing as a primary. The party has to pick the candidate, and if you want to run not as a party person, then you have to, run as another party member or a non-party affiliated.
Right, just do it yourself, basically, yeah.
Yeah, remember, to be a political party participant in many countries is not just putting your registration down as a voter. You are an active participant. You like pay dues, go to meetings, you vote on the quote unquote manifesto, you vote on a platform. You're
Right.
you buy into this. You just don't put your name down a voter registration or a Democrat. You pay money to participate.
Right. It's a
You know.
commitment, yeah.
The commitment. There are expectations. You have to do work, and you pay them to do it, right? So it's different, right? You're actually most countries' political parties. People look at the numbers. Oh, there's only 4 or 5 or 1,000 or 10,000 membership, and I'm like, yeah, but those people actually
That's
and
their job. Then that's their profession.
yeah, they pay to join, and you can get thrown out. So it isn't like here where people can change political parties like they change your shirts if you're not particularly if you're not elected, you can say you're this, you're that, but over there, I mean, when you say you're a member of a political party, I mean it is like a real commitment. So again, it's different, folks. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just I think people tend to look through things through what you know, which of course is how we do things here. I mean, that's natural. It's also not the right way to go about looking at how things work elsewhere.
Interesting. Well, they've been doing a lot longer than we have, that's for sure.
Well, it's chaotic. I do have to give them credit. When they do a protest, they light a lot of things on fire in Paris, which
Yes, they do.
astounding. Astounding. It's like the revolution from like Louis the 16th has never ended.
That's true. It's always Bastille Day.
It definitely, yeah, no. I mean, anytime you watch a news clip of a protest in France, it's like, oh my God. It just seems to like, yeah, it's like Bastille Day ends.
Oh boy. Well, let's bring it back home here and wrap things up going forward for the month of July. Any public appearances in the district, Jackie?
No, there ain't too much left. I mean, this week, I got we continue to talk about this Asian business. I can have a council report that we're going to bring a status presentation on this week. Next Monday, I'm actually pretty busy. Next Monday, I have actually a very international day. I have the New England School of Optometry come to ask me to visit their school to meet some of their counterparts in China to talk about, eye care and other things. Actually, Rural Boston, which is a nonprofit agency that deals with a lot of foreign affairs, they're an intermediary and educational resource, has some folks from State Department coming to the State House, and they asked me to come meet and greet and answer some questions and talk about some out of country, out of Massachusetts stuff. So I'm not sure how that conversation is going to go yet. But I was asked to do that as well, and also I got doing my intern seminar talk every session. I call it a tacky comedy hour, where I talk to the interns in the State House about me and how I got here and what I do, and answer questions about anything you want to ask. So yeah, I'm gonna have a hoarse voice by the time Monday is over.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Sounds like interesting things, though.
I'm trying to think. Thursday, at Adams Field, there's a dedication for a veterans voice event. Hold on, I gotta look this up. Give me one quick second.
Oh, is this the Veterans Expo you're talking about? That's,
Yes.
yep, Saturday up at Pageant Field. Yep.
Yeah, The Wall That Heals is unveiled Thursday morning at 10. And then,
Actually, the wall is not coming to Quincy.
what?
Yeah, no, that's been changed. It's going up to Fort Devens instead.
Oh, well, okay. I can take that off my schedule, is what you're
Take that off
saying?
your schedule.
All
You'll be
right.
there all by yourself.
Yeah, you can tell people we're doing this live as we speak. Okay, leading it off my schedule now on Thursday.
And just check with me, Tacky. I'll keep you updated.
I really should. The Saturday, there's some great things. Point Webster School is having its Health Run Day at 9.
Ah.
Veteran music event, as you point out, starts at 10 to 3.
Yeah.
And if you want to leave Quincy, there's a Boston Little Saigon Night Market. If you want to do something different, you can go to Fields Corner in Boston. The Vietnamese community has a night market from 4 to 9:30. Obviously, not like in Vietnam or any Southeast Asian country, but an urban Boston style
Okay.
night market. You want some cultural differences. So yeah, and then wow, we have like a coastal zone meeting next week. Just looking, as you can see, I stare at my calendar. It's yeah, Women's Health Conference, status women issues. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of briefings coming up, mostly in the State House. There's very little events, at home. And I talked about this already. As soon as it hit July 15th, I mean, I'm keeping near the State House. It's just we just don't know when we're going in. And thank God I'm in Quincy, right? I don't live 3 hours away. I
Right.
mean,
Yeah.
believe me, I do not complain about the commute.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Somebody who lives in, Western Massachusetts has got a bit long haul out of them. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's the state's bigger than people realize, and some of these communities do not have that direct access to a major roadway.
Right. Yeah. Think if you were one of the representatives in Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, you have to get off the boat.
Right.
And some folks have winding roads to the mountains of the Berkshires to get to the Pike, and then you just add another 2.5, 3 hours in the Pike, depending on traffic. But it takes you like an hour just to get there off a winding road. So I do not complain, people. Trust me. Despite the traffic in Quincy and other stuff, being on call to go to the State House is much more convenient when you're living in Quincy. Trust
Yes,
me.
for sure.
So, also, just want to give a public health note on West Nile virus. There's been reported cases of West Nile virus, two of them in Quincy. So this time we're
Just in
ground.
mosquitoes, just in mosquitoes.
Yeah, the pesky mosquitoes. So definitely wear your repellent. Cover up, especially if it gets close to dust. You got still water. Get rid of it. Mosquito eggs will lay there. It's been very wet. A lot of still water, hangs around your place. Pour it out. Mosquitoes can form. I think it takes up to 5 days to 2 weeks. I think you have to exhalate something in that zone. Be very aware of that. West Nile virus is actually, believe it or not, Massachusetts has the highest death rate of West Nile virus in the country.
Really?
Yeah, we're talking like average of three people. So we're not talking like, an epidemic of any kind, but yeah, it's, and you, we actually have the highest death rate from West Nile virus. It's again, the numbers aren't big, but it can hurt a healthy person too. You don't have to
Yes.
be old or immune compromised. It can cause severe health issues for a healthy person. So, remove still water. If you can, wear more covered clothing. Definitely wear your bug spray as well as your suntan lotion. The sun is brutal. And just be more conscientious at night. And Quincy is a marsh city, as you all know. I live across from marsh, so but yeah, just let you all know that the public health warnings out there, and State Department of Public Health as well as all public health agencies at the local level are keeping an eye on this.
Yep, it's that time of year, absolutely. And Triple E was detected down in Carver too, so just protect yourself. Yep.
Yeah, some common sense. I'm not here to scare people not to enjoy outdoors, but there are things you can do to do simple things, just like I said, getting rid of still water around your home. Little things like that goes a long way.
Yep, definitely. Yep. Contact time, Techie.
617-722-2370. 617-722-2370 is the office phone. Tacky.chan@mahouse.gov. TACKEY.CHAN@mahouse.gov is the email. We're in room 42 of the State House. Like to come for a State House tour, we always encourage people to visit. My office is staffed in room 42. We have Facebook at State Representative Tacky Chan. You can see hopefully some July 4th pictures up there. And then we have at Tacky Chan at X, as well as State Representative TackyChan.org as our reference page, as well as MALegislature.gov. Definitely visit MALegislature.gov. I strongly encourage it to see what's going on. You can look up bills and bill histories there about me. And of course, me and Joe on a near weekly basis on Keyway TV, and check in with Joe in the morning on his morning broadcast. And is there any questions or interest, definitely email Joe, and Joe can filter out the email to see what topics we can talk about down the road.
Yep, happy to hear from folks. Haven't yet, but always open to it for sure.
I strongly encourage it. If Joe clearly is now managing my schedule, as you just heard,
That
so definitely feel free to share your complaints Joe's direction.
Good to talk to you. Stay cool.
Yeah, everyone, please be safe. It is warm, and I'll see you in about a week's time.